Mama, mind, iti, all these, manasa, by the mind, yat, whatever, aso, that, aham, I am, iti, thus, bhuvan, accepting, kuniyat, takes with him, Tat, that, Puman, the living entity, Radham, perfected, Karma, work, Jena, by which, Puna, again, Bhava, material existence. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The living entity labors under the bodily conception of I am this, I am that, my duty is this, and therefore I shall do it. These are all mental impressions, and all these activities are temporary. Nonetheless, by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the living entity gets a chance to execute all his mental concoctions. Thus, he gets another body. Please repeat. The living entity labors under the bodily conception of I am this, I am that, my duty is this, and therefore I shall do it. These are all mental impressions, and all these activities are temporary. Nonetheless, by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the living entity gets a chance to execute all his mental concoctions. Thus, he gets another body. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As long as one is absorbed in the bodily conception, his activities are performed on that platform. This is not very difficult to understand. In the world, we see that every nation is trying to supersede every other nation, and that every man is trying to advance beyond his fellow man. All these activities are going on under the name of advancement of civilization. There are many plans for making the body comfortable, and these plans are carried in the subtle body after the destruction of the gross body. It is not a fact that after the gross body is destroyed, the living entity is finished. Although many great philosophers and teachers in this world are under the impression that after the body is finished, everything is finished, this is not a fact. Narad Muni says in this verse that at death one takes his plans with him, griniyat, and to execute these plans he gets another body. This is called puna bhava. When the gross body is finished, the plans of the living entity are taken by the mind, and by the grace of the Lord, the living entity gets a chance to give these plans shape in the next life. This is known as the law of karma. As long as the mind is absorbed in the laws of karma, a certain type of body must be accepted in the next life. Karma is the aggregate of fruit of activities conducted to make this body comfortable or uncomfortable. We have actually seen that when one man was about to die, he requested his physician to give him a chance to live 4 more years so that he could finish his plans. This means that while dying, he was thinking of his plans. After his body was destroyed, he doubtlessly carried his plans with him by means of the subtle body, composed of mind, intelligence, and ego. Thus, he would get another chance by the grace of the Supreme Lord, the Supersoul, who is always within the heart. Savasya chaham hridi sannivishto matha smriti jnanam abhonam cha. From the Bhagavad Gita 15:15. In the next birth, one acquires remembrance from the Supersoul and begins to execute the plans begun in the previous life. This is also explained in Bhagavad Gita in another verse. Ishvara sava bhutanam riddeshe rajuna tishtati brahmayan sava bhutani yanta rudhani mayaya. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of the material energy. Bhagavad Gita 18:61. Situated on the vehicle given by material nature and reminded by the Supersoul within the heart, the living entity struggles all over the universe to fulfill his plans, thinking, I am a Brahmana, I am a Kshatriya, I am an American, I am an Indian, and so on. All these designations are of the same essence. There is no point in becoming a Brahmana in preference to an American, or becoming an American in preference to a Negro. After all, these are all bodily conceptions under the modes of material nature. Shaganjana Shalakaya Chakshomitam Jinatasma Shri Guruve Namaha Namom Vishnu Badaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shimade Gaur Govinda Swaminiti Namane Namom Vishnu Badaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shimade Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharne Nevishesha Shunyavadi Pashtita Deshitare Mamite manasat yat yat asavaham miti bhuvan griniyat tat puman radham karma jena puna bhava. Translation. The living entity labors under the bodily conception of I am this, I am that, my duty is this, and therefore I shall do it. These are all mental impressions, and all these activities are temporary. Nonetheless, by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the living entity gets a chance to execute all of his mental concoctions. Thus, he gets another body. So here, mental conception or mental impression referring to karma, which is not the nature of the soul. It's an all temporary affair based on bodily conception of life. And because of bodily conception of life, we're misidentifying who we really are. So instead of understanding and realizing that we are Krishna Nityadas, or eternal servants of Krishna, under the bodily conception, under the influence of Maya, modes of material nature, rather we're acting as Maya Das. So instead of Krishna Das, we're acting as Maya Das. So two conceptions are there. One is on the platform of the soul, which means realizing practically one's true identity, and not realizing that, then the default automatically is that we are covered over and we are brought away from Krishna through the agency of Maya. So rather than serving Krishna, then we end up serving Maya and being a thinking that we're products of material nature, identifying with these gross and subtle bodies, identifying with the gross and subtle bodies of the persons that are put into our life. And I remember when I first joined the movement and I started reading Srila Prabhupada's books, and in many, many places and in many lectures, Srila Prabhupada is talking about how you're not this body. And Srila Prabhupada is constantly emphasizing, you're not this body, you're not this body. And I remember in my being immature, I was thinking, okay, we heard you say that. In my stupid mind, I'm thinking, yes, Prabhupada, you said that many, many times, that we're not this body. And I was thinking, why is Srila Prabhupada so much emphasizing and pounding this point that you're not your body? It seems like a very simple point. okay, we're spiritual souls and we're servants of God and we're not these material bodies. And maybe on some philosophical level or theoretical level, it's very easy to say that we are not these bodies. Srila Prabhupada said in one place that, I remember he said that it is not enough to say that you are not these bodies, but that you must act on the platform of the soul, which means eternal servant of Krishna. So it's not enough just to say theoretically, yes, we're not this body, and then move out from the class, and then the whole rest of the day we're acting like we're our bodies. Oh, my body wants this. Oh, got to do it. My mind is telling I have to think like this. I have to speak like this. Got to do it. So we're saying very theoretically we're not the body. But practically speaking, to realize that, this is not a simple, easy thing. Because this is talking about the laws of karma. That means many, many lifetimes. Since time immemorial, we've been going through these cycles of birth and death in so many different bodies and so many bodily conceptions of life, with so many material desires, with so many plans, carrying from one body to the next body to the next body. And then all of a sudden we get a little inkling for spiritual life. We hear some teaching from a great sadhu and he says, you're not the body. And you say, yes, we are not this body. We are not this body. So, okay, we read Bhagavad Gita. Okay, what other shastras do we have out there? We've understood that. We're not the body. Okay, now let's go read the Rasa Shastras or Rasa Tattva, or all these high books. But Srila Prabhupada, he understands perfectly his audience. He's an expert physician. What is it? Sadhu Vaidya. So he's understood. He can just glance and see what is our consciousness, what is our mentality, what is our disease, what is the level of depth of our misconception and our contamination. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada constantly stressing in all of his books, in all of his tapes and lectures, you're not an American, you're not Indian, you're not a Brahmana, you're not Kshatriya, you're not a king, you're not a pauper, you're not a husband, you're not a wife, you're not a son, you're not a daughter, you're not any of those things. You're completely separate from that. We are all eternal servants of Krishna. But we have forgotten that. So Prabhupada says, I have come here to remind you of what you should already know. But because of the influence of Maya, especially in the Kali Yuga, especially we have no real qualification, we're prone to asatsanga, we're hearing material contaminated vibration from the moment we come out of the womb, even in the womb. So contamination is already there everywhere. So to get free from that contamination, Prabhupada speaks in the purport beforehand. What is real liberation? Prabhupada says means to get free from this subtle body, bodily conception of life. That is the real liberation. So it's not enough just to say, oh, we're not these bodies, and then go on and act like we're the body of the mind the whole rest of the time. And the fact that we're not fixed in our Krishna consciousness 24 hours a day, that means we're not always realizing that we are not this body. We're not realizing and fixed in service, in eternal servant, in service to Krishna. So this is our disease. And because of that contamination, because of the misconception with these bodies, which is so strong, which is so deep-rooted, just to have an intellectual, philosophical, theoretical understanding of that is not nearly sufficient enough to become liberated or detached from that conception and to act on the platform of the soul. So this is requires tremendous mercy from Krishna and from Krishna's devotees, Vaishnavas, Sri Guru Granga, all those who are oceans of mercy. It requires tremendous mercy. It's nothing that we can realize, understand, or act on our own. Because it requires purification of the contaminated consciousness. So Krishna, he's situated within everyone's heart. He's the witness. He's also the provider or the
permitter.
Right? So Krishna is there within the heart. In this verse quoted by Prabhupada in the purport, it says, Savashichaham Hridisanivishtomatashmati Jhanamaponam Cha. Krishna says, yes, I'm within the heart of every living entity. And from me, Krishna says, comes knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. And in many places, Srila Prabhupada says, if you want to forget Krishna, if you want to go on acting as Maya Das, then Krishna, he will make you forget. He'll make you forget that you are Krishna Nitya Das. And he'll make you think that you are a product of material nature, that you're in a bodily conception of life, and he'll simply allow us to continue with our materialistic, karmic plan-making and fulfillment of that. It says that in the translation, by the grace of the Supreme Lord, that he reminds us of all of our mental concoctions. Well, that doesn't seem like grace. He's reminding us of all of the mental concoctions and materialistic and sinful desires that we have from previous lifetime. So I was thinking, well, how is that grace? How is that mercy? And of course, Maya is also showering mercy in the form of heavy, heavy lashes. My Gurudev used to say, heavy lashes. You liking? You like the heavy lashes that Maya is putting onto you? Is it nice? Is it sweet? Is it tasty? Making you happy, peaceful? Huh? So then we realize, oh, if we have a little bit of consciousness, then we realize, Prabhupada says, in the human form of life is meant to realize that, why am I in so much anxiety? Why so much disturbance? Why so much fear? Why so much unhappiness? Why so much suffering is there? And the human form is meant to realize that point and ask the question, how can I get out of that condition? So in that sense, Maya, Prabhupada says, Maya is doing a thankless task, showering her mercy in the form of heavy lashes, which is meant to purify us of all of this ignorance, this contamination, to educate us also, and to ultimately rectify us, to change our mind, to change our plan from being Maya Das and trying to enjoy in the material world, rather that we should be who we really are meant to be, and that is Krishna Das, eternal servants of Krishna. So we're carrying all of these things, heavy, heavy luggages, heavy, heavy bags. Sometimes it looks like we don't have anything. Sometimes devotee, we go in India especially, we're going to go on a trip somewhere, we're going to take a road trip, and the devotees come out and they have like a little bag. I said, where's all your things? And they said, oh, everything's in the small bag. So we may have a small bag, and externally may look like we're not carrying many things. But internally, from many, many lifetimes, we're carrying so many things. So many desires are there. So many plans are there. You think, be honest, be like scientists. When you go to chant your japa, analyze, we should analyze and be introspective and see, are we plan making while we're chanting japa? Are we making plans? Are we looking for the future and making plans for the future? Or are we looking back and lamenting for those things that we were not able to accomplish or that we lost? So hankering and lamenting, this is all bodily conception. This is all has to do with the mind and the false ego and all the contamination that is there. So very quickly, very easily, we can see. We can say on one level, I'm devotee. What do you mean plan? My plan is to surrender and serve Krishna. And on some level, that's also true. But as long as we have not done the work, as long as we have not purified our hearts and our consciousness, we are still, whether we're conscious of it or not, carrying so many other desires. So many other desires, either grossly or subtly. So many other plans also we're carrying there, consciously or unconsciously, within the heart. And the fact that we cannot 24 hours a day think about Krishna, and fix our mind and heart and consciousness on Krishna is proof positive. Prabhupada talks in these purports that our activities ultimately show what is the state of our mind, what is the state of our consciousness. So if we can practically say, well, I'm not fixed in Krishna consciousness, I'm not engaged 24 hours a day, constantly, manmana bhava madbhakto, what does that mean? It means 24 hours a day. We say, well, where is he getting 24 hours a day? Why he's making so strict? But Krishna himself says, manmana bhava madbhakto. Always think about me and don't think about anything else, anybody else. So Krishna, he wants exclusivity. He wants us to exclusively think of him. But why are we not able to do that? Is because, grossly or subtly, we have many other desires and interests and plans that we are carrying from previous lifetime or that we are cultivating for our future lifetime. And all of that activity is all, in the translation it says, all of that are just making mental impressions. So many mental impressions are there within the heart and consciousness. So Prabhupada said that, or some devotees complained, they're saying that we're brainwashed, that you're brainwashing us. And Prabhupada said, yes, your brain needs washing. Prabhupada didn't even try to skirt the issue. He said, yes, if you look at what your brain is thinking about, what your mind is thinking about. So much nonsense is going through your brain and mind, isn't it? So does your mind and your brain, your consciousness, does it not need cleansing? Huh? Of course. And of course it says, cheto dharpana majanam. Right, means to cleanse and purify the consciousness by chanting the holy names. And I remember when I was first hearing that, I was saying, there's some dust on the mirror. And my Gurudev said, dust on the mirror? Thick, thick, thick layer. Like a Himalayan mountains, Baba. Not little, I'll just do a little dusting for a little while and then I'll chant Shudanam and be a Premi Bhakta and go back to Godhead. This is serious work is required. Yes, Prabhupada said in the beginning, chant, dance, take prasadam, go back to Godhead. It seems so simple, isn't it? Just chant and dance and take lots of prasadam and go back to Godhead. So Prabhupada is very much encouraging us to continue the same process. But we have to also go deeper and deeper as we're going through that process to realize that the heart is sometimes it's compared to like washing coal. Every time you're washing the coal, it's still coal seems to be there. So this is a heavy, heavy work. Deep, deep contamination and diseases there within the heart. We should be very realistic and honest and introspective. And understanding all of these things. And as we're progressing and as we're practicing spiritual life, we can see so many years, so many hours, so many days, we're working so hard, day and night. And still, these things still seem to rear their ugly head. So much lust is there. So much greed is there. So much worry and anxiety for our future is there. Running after name and fame. And prestige, and position, and power, and money, and women, and men. Are we free from all of these things? If we are not free from all of these desires, gross or subtle, it means we still are dealing with bodily conception of life. It means we're still influenced by the gross and subtle body. It means we've not really realized the first teaching of the Bhagavad Gita. What is Krishna's first teaching? You are not this body. What is Prabhupada's emphasis through all of his teachings and lectures? You are not this body. So even the first thing, practically, how much have we realized it? How much can we act on the platform of spirit soul as an eternal servant of Krishna? Not influenced by gross or subtle desire. Not influenced by the subtle body. Not influenced by the demands of the gross body. This is not a small platform. So to get to that state of consciousness, that state or that level of purification of the heart and consciousness, this is not a momentary thing. This may take some lifetimes. Huh? Of course, it's said if you're very, 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 very serious, you can do it in one life. But if we're not so serious, and we're taking the easy way, we're not really doing the work that is required, it may take some time. It may take a long time. So mercy is required. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, to show special mercy to my devotees, I destroy the tama, the ignorance that is prevailing within their hearts. Krishna says, to show special mercy to my devotees. So here it's talking about grace and mercy, but it means you're getting the fulfillment of your material desires and you're living out your karmic destiny. Huh? But the real mercy, the real grace, is that Krishna showers that such mercy that He can purify our heart and our consciousness. We have a disease. We have a serious heart disease. What is the heart disease? What is our disease? Lust only Arjuna, the all-devouring sinful enemy of man. It is lust only. That is the heart disease. We have heart disease, lust. Huh? How are we going to get rid of that heart disease? And it's explained that everyone in the material world, in the material body, is affected by it. From Lord Brahma all the way down to Indra Gopa, everyone, more or less, is fighting with this lust and greed and, what's the other one? Anger. Huh? Unfulfilled lust means anger. Not getting the fulfillment of your desires means frustration and anger. Huh? Krishna says this lust and the greed, anger, these are all royal road to hell. The royal road to the hell. So these things are still within our heart, gross or subtle. The disease is still sitting there. Therefore, we have to work on it on daily basis. Chetodhapanamajanam. We have to daily take the medicine. Shrimbatam swakata Krishna punya shravana kirtana. It's explained that by hearing Harikata, Krishna Kata, Krishna Nam, in association of Shuddha Bhaktas, Vaishnavas, then Krishna, as the Super Soul, Paramatma, within the heart of the truthful devotee who wants to clean it up, wants to cleanse his heart and consciousness, then Krishna, He showers His mercy, and from within that devotee, He destroys this plan-making or desire or interest for material enjoyment. That's Krishna's special mercy. So the devotee who's truthful, who's honest, and is introspective, he looks within the heart and consciousness and says, it is not a little bit of dust that is there. It's like Himalayan mountains. Filthy, contaminated consciousness. And must clean it up. We must be very strong and determined that we're not satisfied with such contaminated, filthy consciousness. But we must think, how can I cleanse it? How can I clean it? How can I get the mercy from that Super Soul, from that Paramatma, from Sri Guru Gauranga, from all of Vaishnavas? How can I get their mercy so that I can purify my heart and my consciousness so that we can truly realize what it means to be Krishna Das? And not be acting as Maya Das and from the lips only saying, oh yes, we are all eternal servants of Krishna. We are not this body. So this is very deep philosophy. And this is a very subtle philosophy. And as we're advancing in our spiritual life, we should be realizing that the work is not done. If anything, we should sometimes wonder if we've even begun it. As long as we're maintaining our desires and even coming to spiritual organization, maintaining desires for power and position, and prestige and money, these things are anartha. Anarthas means unwanted things. So are we cultivating anarthas? Are we getting the grace that Krishna is talking about, that he reminds you of what it is that you're looking for from previous life? And is that material? Or is it spiritual? Forget about whether it's in a spiritual organization or out of a spiritual organization. Is the desire in and of itself, is it spiritual? Is it pure? Or is it material? So we cannot run after name and fame and position and power and money and control and all of these things and then say, yes, we are not this body. You see, those words will have no potency. Prabhupada says your purity is the force. If you're pure and you're trying to purify yourself and you're speaking on that topic, then the words will have some potency. If we're just saying from the lips and just saying theoretically or philosophically without doing the actual work of getting free of these anarthas, then those words will be like a blank fire. They will not have any real potency. One Prabhupada disciple was giving a class and he was explaining, or we were talking, and he said, you see, Srila Prabhupada, he's so pure Vaishnava, Shuddha Bhakta, Premi Bhakta, that his words are so powerful and so penetrating that it could penetrate your contaminated consciousness. Regardless of how much LSD and marijuana and alcohol and meat and all other activities going on, there's no qualification. It's only good fortune that we came in contact with such personality who has such potency and such purity that he can cut through all the layers, all the thick layers of contamination, and somehow or other, by the potency of that katha, reach our souls and inject the soul with spiritual remembrance and spiritual potency. That is the special, quality and duty of such Vaishnava, why they come to this world. And one Prabhupada disciple, he said, you see, we used to read, yes, you're not the body, you're not the body. But when Prabhupada would say to us, you are not your body, in that moment, in that instance, you could understand, oh, I'm not this body. I'm not this gross body. I'm not this subtle body. I have nothing to do with it. So that's nothing that we've necessarily done. It's just that we try to hear and we try to consider what pure bhakta devotee is trying to tell us. And by his mercy, by his potency, it can go in the ear hole and penetrate all of this contamination, all of this covering of the soul. And those words has cleansing effect. Very potent, purifying words. Because those words, that vibration is non-different from Krishna. So Krishna is entering in the ear hole through the heart and the mouth of Sadhu Guru Vaishnava. And if we can somehow, Prabhupada says, just try to, lend your ear. Try somehow or other. Let it even, sometimes Prabhupada said, let it hit your ear. And then like a drill, it will just somehow or other drill through all of this contamination. One Prabhupada disciple was telling me a story that he was in a Pandal program in India, and Prabhupada was speaking in Hindi, and it was very, very hot day. Very, very hot. And Prabhupada was speaking in Hindi. Prabhupada speaking sometimes, huh? And this devotee, he's Maharaj now. At that time, he says, I was so tired and it was so hot. And Prabhupada speaking in Hindi, I don't speak Hindi. So I was falling asleep. I'm falling asleep. And then Prabhupada afterward, he said, hey, what are you doing sleeping? While I'm speaking, why are you sleeping? And the devotee said, sincerely and innocently, he said, well, Prabhupada, you were speaking in Hindi. And it was 120 degrees. It was really hot, and I'm really tired. That's why I was sleeping. And Prabhupada said, you know, something like Maharaj said, like, nonsense. It doesn't even matter whether you can understand my vibration and my language or not. Just you let that vibration, which is non-different from Krishna, let it enter into your ear. It will have a miraculous effect in purifying your consciousness, whether you realize it or not. Whether you're conscious of it or not. And Srila Prabhupada explains also that if you're sick and you have a disease, and you take some medicine, some antibiotic, you may not understand how technically that antibiotic is working in your body. Chemically, physiologically, you may not understand it. Especially in the beginning. But still it will cure you. Later you may finally figure out how it's curing you. Huh? And probably because the other story that, or the other example that, if you take poison, you may not understand how this poison is working in your body, but it will still kill you. That poison will still kill you. So anyway, Prabhupada said, somehow let it enter your ear. Let it hit your ear. In one place, Prabhupada says, factually, the path of bhakti is the path of hearing. Factually, the path of bhakti is the path of hearing. And Prabhupada says the whole day, Prabhupada's program, he gave a program which allows us the opportunity to hear about Krishna. So the more we hear sincerely and seriously, the more we're taking the medicine of Krishna consciousness, then the nice effect will come. And we see when we chant nicely and we hear nicely and we serve nicely and we preach nicely, we get purified, we get the mercy from Krishna. Paramatma Super Soul purifies our heart and consciousness. We become free from our anxiety. We become peaceful and happy. Even we can understand that, even on the level that we're on, isn't it? And when we don't do that, and rather we're lazy, or we make excuses, or we find other things to do, and instead of satsanga, sadhu sangha, we're doing asatsanga. Instead of hearing Harikatha, Krishna Katha, we're hearing Gramya Katha. So we are polluting, contaminating our consciousness by that asatsanga. And therefore, instead of purifying, coming to the level of the soul, acting on the platform of an eternal servant of Krishna, we're maintaining our ignorance, serving Maya instead of serving Krishna, increasing our desires subtly, or consciously or unconsciously. And if we don't do the work, then this purport today is talking that those gross and subtle desires and plans, how to enjoy this material world, it will simply carry that soul into another body. And it doesn't matter, Prabhupada says, whether you're a brahmana, what is it? Prabhupada says, where is it? Was that at the end, right? Yeah. Prabhupada says, all of these designations, I am a brahmana, I am a kshatriya, I am an American, I am an Indian, and so on. All of these designations, they're of the same essence. Means they're all material. There is no point in becoming a brahmana in preference to an American. Or becoming an American in preference to a Negro. After all, these are all bodily conceptions under the modes of material nature. They're all under the modes of material nature. So if we're acting under the modes of material nature, we're acting on the platform of karma, we're simply guaranteed to get another material body. So it doesn't solve it. one bodily designation is not better than another bodily designation because they're all bodily designations. They're all under the material modes of nature, whether mode of goodness, passion, or ignorance. That is also not the solution. Although Srila Prabhupada says that first try to come to mode of goodness. Prabhupada says, I'm trying to create the brahmanas. Come to the mode of goodness. And from the mode of goodness, this is like stepping stone, then you can go to Shuddha-sattva. First come to sattva-gun, then you go to Shuddha-sattva platform. Then you go to pure goodness platform. From that goodness platform. So in that sense, we want to purify and elevate ourselves, but that is not the ultimate solution either. The point is we want to become Vaishnava. We want to be eternal servant of Krishna, which is beyond a bodily designation, whether it's mode of goodness, passion, or ignorance. That's the ultimate goal Prabhupada's referring to here. Because that platform will guarantee us that we do not have to take another material body. And Prabhupada explains in that verse, janma karma cha me divyam. That one who understands my activities and my appearance here in this material world, when he leaves this body, he never again has to come back down here in this material world. Prabhupada says, this is the perfection of religion. That when you leave this body, you go back to Krishna, you never have to come back down here again into this material world. So that is real religion. That is the perfection of religion. And everything else which is not bringing us to that point is not real dharma. It's a kaitava dharma. In this verse it says, and I'm just wrapping it up, in the translation, it talks about that this bodily conception of life forces one to toil, to labor. Because we have so many dharmas in the bodily conception of life. Oh, I am the son, I am the brother, I am the father, I am the mother, I am the father, all of these designations. Now, society says, these are your duties, this is your dharma. So because of bodily conception, now everyone is laboring, trying to fulfill all of the obligations and the rules and the expectations and everything else that is put on us in this bodily conception of life. So the bodily conception of life is burning all of our energy and our time and our money and our resources, and we're laboring like gadha, like an ass, ass-like. And all of that activity, it says in this translation, is all temporary activity. Why temporary? Because that activity will never free you from the cycle of birth and death. It will only increase your karma and guarantee you another body, so that ultimately doesn't solve the ultimate problem. So Prabhupada said, rather use your energy and your time and your resources for focusing on your spiritual life. That is the best thing you can do for yourself. Then, if you are healthy spiritually, then you can help other people, really, in this lifetime and in the future lifetime, by giving them Krishna consciousness. So thank you everyone very much for your kind attention and your prayers and your mercy. Thank you for letting me purify myself and be reminded of what I'm supposed to be thinking about. Does anyone have a point or question, Prabhu? Please tell us. I'm sure I left out 100 things.
There's one nice story to illustrate your point about carrying heavy burden. There's two sadhus were traveling long distance from one city to another city by foot. And they, at one point they had to cross a river. The river was in spate. It was flooding. It was very, very difficult to cross. There was one old woman who was just sitting on the bank of the river, you know, and said she had a very sad story about how she had to get to the other side, but now the river is flooding and she can't get back. So she was asking for help, And one of the sadhus said, no, I can't help. The other sadhu said, oh, yeah, no problem. So he put her on the shoulder, and together, you know, they carried her across the river and put her on the other side. And then the two sadhus, they continued their journey for many days, and then they finally reached the destination, and this other sadhu, he said, why did you carry that woman across the river? Why did you do that? You're a sadhu. How can you touch a woman? And so the first sadhu said, I only carried her for a few minutes. But you carried her the whole trip in your mind.
Ah. Interesting, huh? What are we carrying in the mind? Just the other one quick story was about the Tyagi. The person who was in the forest, he lived under a tree. Every night he lived under a different tree. And he didn't have anything. The only thing he had was pericopans. And externally, that's all he had, and he was moving everywhere, living under a different tree every night. But he was thinking, there's nobody who's as renounced as I am. Nobody is renounced as I am. So he's carrying that, even though externally it looks like he doesn't have anything. Prabhu?
Yeah. He said, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Matta Smriti Jnana Pohanam Cha. So sometime we find that we forget things. Then we give excuse, I'm getting old. This is the effect of old age. So if the remembrance, forgetfulness and knowledge comes from Krishna, then Krishna is not getting old. That should be eternal. So it seems little contradiction here. Can you explain?
Well, what hits me, I don't know if I totally got everything, but what's hitting me is that sometimes we forget. We're prone to forget. And we're prone to not remember Krishna because we're not premi bhaktis. We've not got free from all these gross and subtle attachments. So if we stay in really good association with devotees who have a liking for an attachment to hearing and chanting about Krishna, if we can somehow have the greatest fortune of having their association, that we alone may not be able to always think about Krishna. But if we find, by Krishna's mercy, very nice Vaishnava association, then at least by associating with those Vaishnavas, we can be very much assured or guaranteed that we're going to constantly go on hearing and chanting about Krishna. So this is the easiest way, rather than just trying to think about Krishna on our own, is that we somehow get the mercy and blessing of Vaishnavas and hear and chant in their association. And this makes it easier.
Then maybe you didn't understand my question. My question is, this remembrance, forgetfulness, all this depends on our ability or it depends on Krishna? Because Krishna said, Matta Smriti Jnana Pohanam Cha. From me comes... knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
So this forgetfulness is coming from Krishna, or it is coming from us.
Well, Krishna is fulfilling our desires, right? So if we want to forget Him, if we have not cultivated, let me just finish. If we've not cultivated strong spiritual desire, then we have material desire. Then Krishna will fulfill your material desire. He'll give you that intelligence. But if somehow you have spiritual desire by His mercy and association with Vaishnavas, and He sees our sincerity and seriousness, this soul wants to think about me, he wants to serve me, he wants to develop love for me, then Krishna will make an arrangement and give us the opportunity and the intelligence to be able to fulfill that spiritual desire. So He's fulfilling our desires, whether it's material or whether it's spiritual.
So that means you are saying that this is only connected to a spiritual desire or a spiritual thing, not material. Like right now, I'm trying to struggle to remember your name. Just example.
Maya Das.
No, I'm not answering. I'm trying to remember your name, but I can't remember it. Yeah. So this forgetfulness has come from Krishna, or it has come because of my old age. That's what my question. I mean, I made it clear.
Hmm. Well, why would Krishna want you to forget my name? Unless I'm so low that, you know, huh? So, I mean, we can blame everything on Krishna, right? Well, I was supposed to wake up the deities this morning, and it didn't come to me, right? So I didn't do my service. Well, that came from Krishna too, right?
It's not a question of blaming. I am trying to understand philosophically, a serious matter. I'm trying to understand philosophically. Does it come from Krishna, or because it depends on a person's ability to grasp that? I mean, I don't know how to make it clear. But this is the question that I just gave example, your name or Bhajari Prabhupada. I forgot.
Right.
I'm trying to remember from 1 hour.
Right.
So does it because of my old age, or because Krishna has made that I forget that?
Well, it's very, very subtle. What you're saying is very subtle point. And so, if you did forget, if you are forgetting my name, my kind of point was, why would Krishna want you to forget my name? Right? I'm sorry, I'm not very intelligent, Prabhu. Maybe you could explain it, because maybe I'm not catching the point, you know? Seriously.
I'll just try to give an answer. There's memory and forgetfulness. Forgetfulness is referring to avidya. It refers to avidya. Memory is just the material body. That's the difference, as far as I understand.
Krishna is the controller of Maya. He's the controller of all of his energies, whether he's directly or indirectly giving you intelligence or remembrance or forgetfulness. It's ultimately coming from Krishna. He may use different agencies internally or externally, but ultimately it's coming from Krishna, Supersoul, Paramatma.
Siddhi. So you are saying the remembrance is avidya, right? No, but may Bhakti Rupa Prabhu can make this. I have a simple question, and that question is, if I am trying to remember Bhakti Rupa's name, you know, this is Bhakti Rupa Das, and I am forgetting that. Okay, yeah, remembrance and forgetfulness. So I am not remembering that.
Krishna's Anumanta. He's permitting for you to forget. So it's coming from him. That forgetfulness is coming from him. He's permitting.
Simple. But why is he letting some remember and some not? Because there's a question of free will and there's a question of qualification. You see? So it's not haphazard, it's based on you getting what you deserve. So if you're very sinful and you have bad karma and contaminated consciousness, then that's what you come into the show with, right?
Yeah, but as Bhakti Rupa made clear that yes, it is coming from Krishna. That remains all the time. It doesn't depend on what people they gave layman excuse that, oh, I'm getting old, so I'm forgetting. It's nothing to do with old age. So let us, you know, I'm the Krishna concept viewpoint, it's coming from Krishna. Yeah. Just like a car may have, you know, ability to drive up to certain this thing. No, this example is not good. Anyway, so, I mean, it's coming from Krishna.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to make a point.
But the soul by its nature is Satchidananda, right? It's eternal, blissful, and full of knowledge. So it is all-knowing, blissful, eternal. And so the fact that our souls are so much contaminated and covered due to our karma, sinful reaction, that is our disqualification. Now somehow by the mercy of sadhus, by the mercy of previous life, by the mercy of Krishna, that soul says, you know, help, screaming to God, praying to God, somehow I want to come to you and know you and be with you in spite of my karma, then that's a question of one's sincerity and seriousness. Prabhupada talks about many places as the prerequisite to receive the mercy of Krishna and also Guru. Yeah.
From I know I'm taking a long time. From this one other question comes that one of the conditioning we have in this material world, everybody has four defects.
Yeah.
And one of the defects is forgetfulness. Does it also play some role?
That forgetfulness?
One of the conditioning of living in entity is that they have one this thing, is forgetfulness.
Yeah. When we forget...
Does it apply to forgetfulness to Krishna or forgetfulness of anything in this material world?
If we're forgetting Krishna, or even materially, if we're forgetting what is our duty, we're going to suffer. We're going to suffer. So if it's bad karma making us not remember or not know how to think or to act properly, that's suffering condition. If we're not remembering Krishna, and we're engaged in materialistic or sinful activity, that's also causing us suffering condition. So when we've suffered enough, and we realize, I don't know what to do, what not to do, then we start to become more interested to ask for help and to hear some better advices from Krishna and from Vaishnavas. Thank you for helping me spur some thought on this matter. Prabhu is saying in the purport, Prabhupada says that Krishna is giving you intelligence to engage in your karmic fulfillment of your plans. So if your plans and your karma is making you contaminated and to forget Krishna, he's simply fulfilling your desire. You don't agree? All right, let's hear it. You're emphatically disagreeing, so you have to refute it with a good argument. You have to convince me. I'm a little dull, though.
I remember when I was in Mauritius, Mahatma Prabhu gave a class. And in class, he used this word, causeless mercy. So Giraswami were there, I was there.
Yeah.
You know, many other devotees were there.
Ah.
We try to understand what is the causeless mercy. It went for 4 hours to understand what is that causeless mercy. Still we didn't come on any conclusion. What is the causeless mercy? Maybe, I don't know, we need to discuss more. I mean, I have a very simple question. I'm not talking spiritual, I'm not talking material. I'm talking total. Total forgetfulness. Whether it may be material or spiritual.
Right.
If we say that it is coming because of our conditioning or this thing, means Krishna is dependent on our conditioning. And Krishna is not dependent on our conditioning. He janma dasyatvarna yadjarta charthe sabhigya swarat. He is fully independent.
Right.
He is not dependent. So it's just saying that, you know, because of old age and this thing I am forgetting, means Krishna, you know, giving the knowledge to us to remember it depending on our age or our body, which is against the philosophy. So my thing that is this coming from Krishna or coming from a living, or this body, put that way.
One quick last point. One Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about the man who has so many sons and they're all meant to get some inheritance from him. So the father has the free will and the right to give his inheritance to his sons. But he wants that the sons qualify themselves. You see, he wants that they act in such a way that they deserve. They don't take it cheaply. So yes, the Father is independent. He can do. He can give. But for our benefit, he wants us to qualify ourselves to come up.
Okay, this is going in the right direction. Okay.
Right.
So it is on Father,
yeah.
Not on the Son.
Right.
So the people who give the layman excuse that, oh, I am growing old, so I am forgetting. So it's not on the person, but on the Krishna.
Oh, I see. They'll blame Krishna, right? It's like blaming Krishna for your karma that's making you forget. Right? Why do I have such a body?
Anyway, we'll discuss later on.
Yeah. Why do I have such a body that's making me forget? Oh, it's Krishna's fault. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Samaveda Bhakta Brinda Ki, Go Premanande.